Now we'll go to side two of this program. This is September 27th, broadcast number 564. Oh, before I get too far into the second half, I forgot to mention that 2 weeks ago, tape number 562 had music on the background. And I want to apologize and I want to tell you, these programs are taped off the air and they're duplicated at the Tape Center in Pacific Grove. I don't do that. I do this broadcast for you free. I'm not paid to do it. I donate my time, my newspaper, my books. Duplicating them is a business and you should get a clean copy. And you got music in the background. I make no apologies. I'm not even going to spend airtime giving you a reason or an explanation. All I'm going to say is if you have a problem with your tape, put it in the next delivery of the mail and send it back and you'll get a new tape. That's all you have to do. You shouldn't have anything on the tape and it should be a brand new pristine tape, and I'm sorry about that. But once in a while there are some mix-ups. I don't even, as I say, want to go into it, but send it back and we'll take care of those immediately. Now, this review of The Vatican Connection, this was just a book review, and I have the whole book, but I just want to mention it because it does hit the points that I will be bringing up on the cause and effect topics that I want to share with you. The review is about the book, The Vatican Connection, by Richard Hammer. It's out on the stands now. During the early 1970s, this commentator reviewer is saying, the Vatican was in cahoots with the mafia mobsters. This is the allegation of the author of this book. Now, Monaco, as far as Princess Grace, was the headquarters of the gaming table of Aristotle Onassis importing hashish from South America, the booze and whiskey of Joe Kennedy and Winston Churchill. A lot went down in Monaco. It's not a virgin territory, and it's not the fairy tale they would have you believe when they're married and buried. When Grace married the prince, or prince, the Hollywood star, well typecast, there was Aristotle Onassis with the floral display and so forth coming down from airplanes. And she had ties to Churchill and Onassis, and maybe not at the end, but when she arrived, and the Vatican. And the point is that this book talks about the early 70s, and the early 70s were very important. That was just prior to Watergate. Richard Nixon was in. All hell was going to break loose. Spiro Agnew was the vice president. He was linked to the Greek military junta and the CIA and the worst Nazi fascist elements in this country, and Tricky Dick with the organized crime connections and the Nazi connection. So we had a good team in the White House, president, vice president. This book says there was a Vatican plot, which they go into, to purchase $950 million in phony securities. Michael Sindona's bank collapsed, and the Vatican investments had trouble because they had a lot of money involved with Michael Sindona. He was the financier for the Vatican. His chicanery led to siphoning $45 million from the Franklin National Bank because of bank failure. Now, keep in mind, the bank collapsed, but our federally insured banks, it comes out of our money, okay, our tax money, to make up their losses. And there was a $3.5 billion federal deposit insurance fund necessary to effect a rescue mission. So what did the Vatican do? Michael Sindona worked with Richard Nixon, the Republican Party, and the Attorney General Richard Kleindienst, and covered up the evidence. And this author refers to it as the Vatican Gate. This was going on. The common link between the 1970s and the $950 million ploy a decade ago to make up for these funds and to counterfeit money was the Chicago financier Paul Marcinkus, in charge of the Vatican Bank, the Pope's bodyguard, who was president and is president of the Institute for Religious Works of the Vatican Bank. Richard Kleindienst and Secretary of Commerce for Richard Nixon, John Connally, now get this one, because on the cause and effect, we'll get back to these names like Nixon and Kleindienst and Marcinkus and Sindona and Grace Kelly and Frank Sinatra. This review, in a nutshell, says that Richard Kleindienst, he's our attorney general, and the Secretary of Commerce for Richard Nixon, John Connally, met with the underworld and were part of the Vatican plot. Now, last week I was doing a breakdown of the murder of John Kennedy and the organization called Permandex that came out of Rome. John Connally was part of Permandex. He had a home, or still may have. I think I read recently he sold it at Montego Bay in Jamaica. That's where Ian Fleming's headquarters were, the ITT headquarters, the renazification of the world, the organization, the hit teams, the money for the missionaries who were assassins. Montego Bay was the headquarters, and John Connally and Paul Rygotarodsky, the control for the Russian czars with Lee and Marina Oswald, were frequented and part of Permandex and Montego Bay and part of the Vatican. And this book mentions John Connally. John Connally was also Secretary of Navy when Lee Harvey Oswald was in Navy intelligence and corresponding with him, and Connally covered up this part of the assassination very nicely. He always said there were double assassins, but this was part. Connally had a role in the Kennedy assassination, and again, all of these people's names are familiar to me. They come out in new books, but they go back to Dallas. It will be the 20th anniversary of Who Killed John Kennedy in November. That's 2 months from now. But all of these same characters, whether it's Nixon or Connally, and this team go back to that day, and that's how I got caught into studying them a long time ago. And Connally was the governor of Texas who, when John Kennedy was killed, was supposed to investigate the murder, a special committee in Texas. You can imagine how that would go, but there was such an uproar that Lyndon Johnson decided to let Earl Warren, who was a putty in his hands, head up this phony commission to investigate the murder of Kennedy. But Connally is mentioned in this book as meeting with the Vatican people, and also in the book Spooks, Jim Hogan refers to Claire Luce and John Connally and the CIA and the Vatican and how they poured money into the Italian elections. John Connally, this author says, Secretary of Commerce, was sent by several witnesses and was seen in the lobby of a Munich hotel where the underworld figures were involved with the Vatican plot. And Claire Luce, of course, was one of our ambassadors to the Vatican. Now, in the book, The Vatican Connection, by Richard Hammer, he talks about Mr. Tisserand, who was involved with these conspiracies, and that he was one of the most trusted people of the Vatican, and that it was a shock to investigate this work and find out that Cardinal Tisserand, Eugene Cardinal Tisserand, was involved with the mafia and was encouraging Leopold Ledl, L-E-D-L, to produce bogus American securities because Tisserand was thought of so highly in the Vatican. He was, according to this author, one of the most highly respected spiritual leaders, the dean of the College of Cardinals, head of the Society for the Propagation of the Faith. And because he was meeting with these con artists and including the encouragement to counterfeit stocks to catch up with Vatican money that was missing, working with the mobsters and our CIA and our Secretary of Commerce and our Attorney General in the United States, there's sections in this book on those men. Well, the name Tisserand came to me immediately. I thought of Bruce Roberts. Many of you know the Gemstone File and the background of the Gemstone File. When I wrote the article, Why Was Martha Mitchell, in 1972, August 72, I was up at KGO Radio. It was around September when Bruce Roberts called me and wanted to meet me because he had done extensive research on Mr. Tisserand, on Pope Montini, on the OSS, the Vatican connections to mafia. Now, this was all new to me. I had studied a lot on the murder of John Kennedy for 9 years up to that point, but I never had yet made the Vatican connections, and I knew the mob was involved with killing Kennedy, but that part was foreign to me, and I just shook my head like some of you do when you hear me talking about these things now. It was all new to me, and Bruce Roberts told me how Howard Hughes had been taken off to a Greek island, that Onassis had them, that a double was in Vegas, and he was the person whose information I used to collect every book that's been published on Howard Hughes and did a story and then was convinced that there was this double that is now Vance Cooper buried in the grave that is supposed to be Howard Hughes. So Bruce Roberts gave me a lot of material And I got out, he gave me 300 pages of these various scandals and interlocking connections. And I got out the Gemstone File, and also there's a small book, it sells for $10, on it's called Beyond the Gemstone File. But it's a pretty good book in terms of resume. And again, that resume was taken from my house, from Stephanie Caruana. And Mr. Peter Renzo of the CIA got this small book out, and you can buy it. It's $10. And in the book, he has references to John Connally and Cardinal Tisserand, and he goes into the background of Watergate in 1972 in January. Remember, the burglary was in June when they were caught, how G. Gordon Liddy and John Dean and John Mitchell were working on plans for spying, kidnapping, and blackmail. In February 72, Francis Dale was head of the committee to reelect the president. He was a board member of ITT, along with John McCone, who lives on the Monterey Peninsula, who was director of the CIA when Kennedy was killed, who was part of the ITT with Nixon when they destabilized Chile and Allende was killed. McCone on the ITT, along with Mr. Francis Dale, who was raising money for Richard Nixon and getting the $1 million from Michelson, donor from the Vatican. And in February of 1972, Mr. Tisserand, the head of the College of Cardinals at the Vatican, was pushed out of a Vatican window. So early in the 70s, according to this book, he was working with the mob, getting the money, encouraging the counterfeit. But Tisserand was murdered, and again, I guess that's where I got the figure of speech of people like Roberta Calvi's secretary flying out the window in Milan a day before Calvi's body was discovered. That is an original saying, I guess. I picked it up from Bruce Roberts. Rereading the Gemstone File, he uses those terms all the time, and I guess I just picked it up and have to give him credit for that. Now, Mr. Tisserand was the man who hated Pope Montini, Pope Paul VI, and according to the Gemstone Files, he referred to him the deputy of Christ at Auschwitz. Montini was a secretary to Pope Pius XII, who was working with the concentration camps. Montini was writing the passports for Martin Bormann and other Nazis, Avery Dulles and others, to leave and go to South America. Tisserand was thrown out the window. He hated Montini and called him the deputy of Christ at Auschwitz, which is interesting because John Paul II was an actor, and he worked for I.G. Farben, but he wasn't even a priest when he came to Rome and was the protege of Montini, then went back to study to be a priest and did work for I.G. Farben for Solvay Chemical at Auschwitz. So Tisserand was accusing Pope Paul VI, Montini, of being the pope at Auschwitz, and the man who he took under his wing as his godson, his protege, turned out to be working at Auschwitz. So Tisserand must have known a lot, or what was going on during the war. And anyway, the book on the Gemstone File goes into these connections. Now, these articles are important, the Vatican connection and the New Solidarity, the discussion of the links of Jamal, of Monte Carlo, the airwave stations at Monte Carlo that go directly to the Middle East, the prediction of the bloodbath which took place, the Christian Vandamme in Bolivia. Those stories are important. And where Grace was in the Vatican between Taiwan, the Vatican, and the North Arctic Circle, which is the headquarter of a lot of exploration and activities going on at the present time. So those are background, and almost an entire program on background of the cause and effect that follows. Now, just one type of article that I'll be doing on Grace, because some of you want stories on her, and I'm going to do a lot next week, and I'll do some of it now on what I call the cause and effect. First article that came out after the accident, she just simply hurt her leg and her neck, and she'd be out. And this was the first report. And then the next day she was dead, and it was a shock because the report was so lackadaisical. Lucky Princess Grace suffers only a broken leg in fiery car accident. That was the first day. 1 week before she was killed in Parade magazine, there was a story about her daughter Caroline and a question. I read all the stuff in the paper about Princess Grace of Monaco splitting with Prince Rainier. and Princess Carolyn going off to some island with her Argentinian tennis player. Does anybody take Monaco people seriously? And he answered, they're only or mainly in Philadelphia, which is her hometown. Once she was dead, you know, she was taken seriously as a world leader, a role model to look up to. But as I say, the first report of the accident was lucky Princess Grace suffers only a broken leg in the car accident, and then you know what happened the next day. The San Francisco, it's the Los Angeles Examiner, Herald and Examiner, had a reprint of a New York Times article September the 21st. This was 5 days after the accident. The doctor's version of Grace's death troubles peers in the United States. When Princess Grace's doctor spoke out publicly without the family's permission and then contradicted official statements, their versions should have been clarified. Now there are questions, and remember last week I brought up the question of who was driving, was it the brakes, was it the stroke, the many discrepancies of the car and the actual physical discrepancies, how the car was taken out of France to Monaco, nobody could see the brakes, there was no autopsy and so forth. This article says the questions have centered on the princess's doctor's interpretation of a CAT scan of her brain, on why they administered anesthetic if she was unconscious, and why the decision was made to terminate medical care so soon. And I compared that to Patricia Neal, who survived after being in a coma for, I think it was 3 or 4 months, and delivered a baby at the same time she had been pregnant. Princess Grace could not speak, was not moving, and did not respond, according to the doctors. But then the doctors in the United States said, how do you get a CAT scan x-ray? Why do you wait so long? And why didn't you, there was another hospital where they could have done it, and they didn't take her there, you know, they did it later. And if she had head injuries, in Princess Grace's case, the delay in getting the CAT scan was due to two facts. The hospital where she was didn't have a scanner, and that she was under the influence of anesthetics. And one of the questions they asked is, why do you give an anesthetic if a person comes in unconscious? They tried to say she had one stroke and then another stroke, and they questioned the medical technical story of what's coming out. But the question is, why an anesthetic? And the French doctor said it's called gamma OH. It was given to Grace. It's not an anesthetic, but it's a rapidly acting French narcotic drug. Well, remember last week I mentioned the new book out by Hamilton Jordan, how Khomeini and Gospodet wanted to get rid of the Shah. And they said when he's in a hospital over in Panama, just give him a shot and make it look like a natural death. And they offered the Panamanian doctor $1 million for this. Of course, the Shah died a few months later. We don't know what got in him, or if money was transacted at all. But the point is that this was the offer. And they said, oh, we didn't give her an anesthetic. It was gamma OH, whatever that is. And then she was temporarily moved after 12 hours. They temporarily moved her for a scan where there are areas of the brain where the left side was bleeding and none on the right. And this article questions the doctors in this country questioned. They said that the area of bleeding appeared to be distinctly different from another area, which is the frontal area. And despite repeated questions, they did not describe the precise size or exactly how the two differed from the other, just saying the frontal bleeding area was traumatic and that the deeper one was not. The bleeding was not explained. There was no autopsy. Princess Grace did not have high blood pressure. She was not taking medication. She had passed the menopause. She had no known risk factor for strokes. American experts in brain disorders have expressed difficulty in understanding how the French doctors, using the cited evidence, could say with certainty that either of the abnormalities found on the CAT scan occurred moments before rather than after the accident. In other words, did it happen in their care that she had these blood clots and not before the accident, because it seemed that the family had visited the priest and there were not the complications until she was carefully in their hands, and this was coming 12 hours later. A CAT scan does not tell a doctor that an injury was spontaneous, and it cannot pinpoint the timing of an injury to between 9 and 9:30. Now, this is one of the comments I made when they were x-raying the body of John Kennedy to see about the bullet location of Lee Harvey Oswald had shot a certain amount of bullets into John Kennedy's back from where he was. They don't know where John Kennedy was standing, and a gun could go off from the book depository that was not John Kennedy, Lee Harvey Oswald. They didn't know where Lee Harvey Oswald was standing. They didn't know what floor he was on. For all purposes, he was either downstairs at the door or on the first floor having a Coke. Because there's holes in the body of John Kennedy doesn't even prove at all who shot the gun. X-rays don't tell you who shot the gun. And finally, some writers are getting a little smarter and asking these questions. This is Lawrence Altman, MD, writing for the New York Times and the LA Herald and Examiner. How can you give a report, pinpoint the timing of a blood clot from 9 to 9:30? This article says judgments about brain deaths are based on repeated clinical examinations of the brain and central nervous systems and knowledge from CAT scans of the nature of the problem and cause. Many have asked why Princess Grace's doctors seem to have given up hope so quickly by stopping the life support system the day after the accident. They explained the brain waves showed no electric activity, but independent observers will never be able to determine for themselves exactly what happened to Princess Grace because her doctors did not ask for an autopsy. They didn't want an autopsy. The car was sequestered away. The question of trying to pinpoint, you know, when you protest too much, when you're too definite about the exact time the blood burst at this part of the brain, it burst when you're on the road driving, and then it came, you know, a little while later, a half hour. They're making up too many details to really tell you much about the accident, except that they're making up all of these details. Now, I started a folder of subjects that I'm going to be doing, as I say, for the next few weeks. I did mention the canaries who are singing, the fellows that are talking, or like Muhammad Aja, who shot the Pope, and Frank Turple, who is talking, and a book's coming out, and we'll learn a lot from that, the men who aren't talking. Then in the next week and two, I'm going into the deaths, and I've done some of them sporadically on this program since June, the main deaths, and make the connections of what happened a week or 2 weeks or a month before, and then the person died, instead of just saying Alfred Bloomingdale died or the charter aeroplane up in Ireland with those people and making the connections when it came down, or the best friends of Prince Philip in Great Britain and the scandals going on in the palace in Great Britain and the catastrophic changes going on there. I'm going to do a cause and effect where Michael Fagan was when he was there, and then what happened, where Alexander Haig was, and then Haig was fired, and then what happened. Now, I'll do the deaths from June. I've been listing those up to the present. The calendar of events day by day. What happened on each day? I'm putting in chronological order some of the main news stories, such as when Mr. Cortland Gross was killed in Philadelphia on July 17th. And July the 18th, Edwin Meese was moving to investigate the links of Raymond Donovan to organized crime. And then a few days later, on July 23rd, Edwin Meese's son is killed in a car crash. I'm going to do the cause and effects. Then the GOP funding that comes from several sources that are being exposed currently. The Michelson-Dona Vatican connections to the Republican Party, Licio Gelli, Ronald Reagan, he was at his inauguration, and the Argentine-Saudi Arabian connections to the current administration. Third, the Masonic secret society, mafia, Nazi fundings to Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon because they were the heir apparent of this party that would lead us into this holy war that we're leading up to at the current time. The funds of Mr. Raymond Donovan and the Teamsters to this administration and to the past administration. And as I say, then the cause and effect, which I think is the most interesting area. I've been working on this, such as Mr. Tisserand, working, say, in 1972 in the early 70s with the mafia, the crime syndicate, a respected man being forced to ask these various people to make counterfeit stocks to deceive the American economy to save the Vatican Bank, and suspecting Montini VI of being the Auschwitz Pope, and then the putting in the power, the actual Auschwitz Pope from Poland, and the connection of Tisserand to what he was saying to what happened later. And then when he caught on and was used for this role, he goes flying out the window at the Vatican and is killed. He's mentioned in the book, and many of the people mentioned are still alive. He was one that never quite made it. The cause and effect in, for example, in April, I'll do one or two for you now, April the 16th, 1982, I did a program mentioning the Wall Street Journal article on the Arctic oils and minerals, the Robert Vesco Corporation, New Jersey, versus the German corporations and the Warburgs. There's a new book out on the Warburgs funding Adolf Hitler during World War II. The Warburgs are involved in the current operations. And that article from the Wall Street Journal mentioned Marvin Warren, Ohio businessman and banker, former ambassador to Switzerland, and Armin Hammer and Occidental Petroleum. Well, now Princess Grace, August the 7th, 1982, is up at the Arctic Circle touring for whatever reason. Mr. Armin Hammer is the host in California last Thursday to a party for Prince Philip, who came to California just a month ago for the John Paul Getty Museum. And Getty was a cover of TCI, the organization with Hitler's Gestapo and Otto von Bolschwing, that sent Helene von Dahm to be Reagan's secretary when he was governor. The Getty people were tied to TCI and the Gestapo and the Odessa organizations. That was a while back. Von Dahm is in the White House now making appointments, and her former husband or her CIA mate, Christian von Dahm, is with the cocaine king down in Bolivia that owes us debts in California. So that the cycles go, I mean, if you have money in the Bank of America or other banks that are collapsing, you become affected by these things that are totally out of your control and are coming down at a speed that you can make a cause and effect relationship. I bought some property in Canada to move up to or to invest in. I hope to move up on Vancouver Island, and I bought it with another woman because as a partner, you can get a better investment, and we got a choice piece of property. Well, she wants to get out of her partnership because we can't put it under two separate names. We have 28 acres. So if we sell, we'll each have our own piece, and that's okay with me. And I agreed to to sell half of it. Okay, we had asking price, and it's listed at that price. Now, what happened was that she called me frantically a week ago. She has to sell this because she has money invested in the Mexican banks that collapse. So I have a business partner, even with all my business savvy or know-how, I have a partner in property up there and may have to take a loss because she needs the money. I can't hold out, so I may have to lose, say, 20 or 30 or 40,000 and sell it cheap to let her be bailed out because she needs the money that she lost in Mexico. So just on a personal basis, with the manipulation of these bastards and manipulators, you get something, you think you have it for your children, you think you have an investment, and by the time you pay the taxes and she gets her money out, it's a disaster. So just personally, this is just one example of the way people are affected. As I say, in California, the Bank of America is tied down the cocaine king, making deals with the banking industry, and we'll do more on that next week. Now, next week, I'm going to run down some cause and effects for you that have taken place. I think you'll find them interesting. I've been working on them the last 2 days, and personally, I think they're fascinating, and I think it may help you who are studying the news or interested in the news to realize that these cataclysmic events don't just happen, that something triggered them or event happens, and then the another thing responds to it. And if you study them, it makes the news more interesting. I don't know how you can survive all the little tricks of the game, but it does make some of the news more interesting. Now, there's a knock at the door downstairs, and it's time to let in the fellow. He has a program at 8:30. This is Mae Brussel on KAZU-FM. I will put on a record, and then the regular program will come in 1 minute. If I can figure out how to work the key, it may take 2 minutes, but you will have some music in the meantime, and I'll sign off with you until next week.